call the July 13th, 2023 Carroll and Orange Council meeting order. Everybody will please silence their cell phones. The next two items on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance and the invocation. After Pledge of Allegiance, if anybody is uncomfortable or would like to leave during the invocation, feel free. And Captain Payne will go and retrieve you after the invocation, bring you back in. Councilman Watts will lead this in the invocation.
From the parade.
Oh, okay, I was wondering.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come here and conduct people's business, Lord. We ask you to guide us in making decisions that are within your will and your guidance, Lord. We ask your guidance on all of us as we conduct this business. Lord, we also ask a prayer for a safe passage for everybody home that's in the room tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Mr. Driscoll?
No comments, just attending.
Oh, okay. All right. And this is the one I had a problem with last time. Can I just call you, Angela?
Yeah, that's what everybody does.
Okay. You have 3 minutes, ma'am, okay?
Oh, I won't need 3 minutes.
All right.
Tomorrow is my second time in a town meeting, so I'm not sure what public comment means, but I'm just going to ignore it. I just wanted to actually, I'm guessing you guys never get thanked for what you do. And so I wanted to take the opportunity to thank you because I thought last month really went well. I felt like you guys represented everybody in the room fairly. I mean, the majority went one way and then a few went the other, and when you voted, it was not unanimous, which I appreciate because it represented that all voices were heard. So I just wanted to say thank you for leading our town on that. Also, I live here, I work here, and I got a lot of kids. My business attracts a lot of kids. I act like a kid. And so I've taken it upon myself to just commit to everybody here that when I'm out and about and I see kids around, I'm going to mother hen them. I'm going to tell them to keep off of people's property, to be careful, to cross the street on the crosswalks. I'm going to do my part to help keep our town as wonderful as it is. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. All right. Next item is the consent agenda. Has anybody had an opportunity to read the minutes from last week? If so, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to add to the minutes before we vote on the consent agenda. In the minutes where it says the matter was referred to July 13, 2022 council meeting in regards to the planning commission's recommendations, we referred that to tonight's vote. I was wondering if Ms. Hunt could put something in those minutes above that sentence that explains that. When I was reading that, I found it to be a little bit confusing on why it was referred, even though I was here and I knew why. Looking back historically, it might be confusing for someone to know why we did that. Is that possible?
So staff's recommendation would be that we simply add a statement that says the zoning ordinance for codification was deferred to clarify the definition of central business district. Would that be acceptable?
Absolutely. So can I make a motion with that addition?
Do we have to make a motion or not this?
Well, to approve the minutes, she can do it that way. Ask, go ahead and make a motion to approve it with the change.
I would like to make a motion to approve it with the addition.
There you go. That's what I was looking for.
I'm working on it.
All right. So we have a motion to accept the minutes with the addition of what Ms. Carter and Ms. Turner just said. Ms. McGuffin. Okay, Ms. McGuffin. And so, does anybody have any discussion on that? We have a motion, I need a second.
I would just suggest that when we do that, we would bring up the revised minutes, once we have a chance to revise them in writing to our next meeting, and then have those readopted, just to reaffirm that the council has decided tonight.
You mean not adopt them tonight?
Not, okay.
You can adopt them tonight, but then just have a subsequent motion that is essentially reaffirming what you've decided, so that you have what you are deciding in writing.
All right, well, we'll just defer it till next month, and we'll just approve two sections at once. Two meetings in one shot.
Strike that motion.
Strike the motion.
Withdraw the motion.
Okay. Motion withdrawn. Reports. Everybody has the staff reports attached. Committee reports. Finance committee. Did y'all have a meeting?
We didn't.
Okay. And utilities, you've got your paper, so
I do have a report. We met back in, I think it was May, actually, on these flags that I brought up for the veterans and active service people. And the committee sort of, we decided to allow people, we put them up from Memorial Day to Veterans Day for two consecutive years, which could be renewable for veterans and active duty. From active duty and veterans, we present a DD-214 of an honorable discharge from the military. They would be responsible for costs. In other words, we would have the flag made, they would pay us, then we would install it and take it down in the fall for two consecutive years. They could renew it if council approved it. And that's sort of what we came to on. That. Is there anything else to take a look? Okay. So that's our presentation. If council wants to proceed with the program or not.
Okay, so what is the recommendation from the utilities committee?
We're recommending that we adopt the program and allow the flags to fly more of a day to Veterans Day for 2 years. And the families or the friends or public would sponsor each flag. So, and I think we wound up, it may be a little bit higher, but $60 a flag, you said?
So when the county did the ones in Madison Heights, they were approximately $60 a flag, but of course that was just one design for multiple flags.
Right.
So we are anticipating it'll be a little bit higher, but if council wants to move forward with this, the next actions of staff would be to finalize the VDOT approval and the APCO approval, and then make a design and get prices from Wint McBride and just confirm the price point for it. And we'd bring that back to you in a package to make sure everybody was good with the design and all of the details.
Okay, so what I'm asking, well, I'll ask for then, I'll ask for a motion and a second, and then I can throw it open for discussion.
Okay.
If anybody here on council has a question on Mr. Watts and Mr. Hagenbaum.
Okay.
All right?
All right. I'll make the motion that we adopt the program for the active duty military and veterans in good standing, in good discharge standing, to allow us to families sponsor these flags for an individual and put them up from Memorial Day to Veterans Day for 2 years in a row. That's my motion.
Okay, do I have a second on that motion?
A second.
Second by Ms. Wheaton. Now, any discussion? Does anybody have any questions? And I think this is the easiest way to do it. Ms. Carter's looked into it, the utilities committee. So if you guys got any questions, I think we need to just put it towards these people because they can answer.
I do have a quick question. I don't know if you have this answer. Do we have an approximate number of people that have expressed interest in this? I mean, are we looking at
I mean, at any point right now, I know.
I have, the only thing I think we have is Concord's, we have one person who came up with the idea.
Right.
Who I think is willing to sponsor one, but because the program has not been out in the public, nobody knows about it, to say, hey, I'd like to do this.
And the design will be brought in front of us, that's just.
Sure, and I've got something in mind similar to this, but we'll present whatever we come up with to council before we do anything.
The only question I have is if the design would be kind of uniformed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, well, it does have a different name on each one, yeah.
Right, okay.
No, it'd be uniform.
Probably just the name and whatever the branch symbol or lettering for the branch would be different, but then the overall flag design would be the same.
If there is not any further, roll call vote. Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
And Mr. Hebo? Motion carried, 4-0-0-1. Other reports, everything else is attached, plan commission, all that. Robert E. Lee, Soil and Water, do you have anything, Captain?
No, sir.
Okay. I just love it when you're here because we have a representative from there, which
that's
is great.
Right.
So, okay, next item is adoption of the zoning ordinance. Ms. McGuffin.
You're doing so well. I was gone for one meeting and I just left your brain.
Yeah.
So at the previous meeting, you held your public hearing for the recodification of the zoning ordinance. The one question that we had from what the Planning Commission sent to you, and as you remember, the Planning Commission was divided itself on this one portion of the recommendation. So for the definition of the Central Business District, there was a portion of the Planning Commission that wanted the older definition, there was a portion that wanted the newer. And so the direction from council at the last meeting was really to look at those kind of in unison. And so you were presented in a memo form a combined definition of those two, the old and the new, put together. Thank you, Mrs. Hunt, for that. And the rest of the ordinance would remain the same with what the Planning Commission recommended and the council tentatively agreed to last time. So we are just looking for the adoption, I believe, the resolution so that you would have that recodification.
Mr. Watts. Mayor, I'll make a motion to approve the proposal to recodify the town of Amherst zoning and subdivision ordinance and to approve an ordinance of the town of Amherst recodifying the town subdivisions and zoning ordinance and providing when such ordinance and this ordinance shall become effective, design ordinance number 220713 as recommended by staff, designated ordinance number 220713 as recommended by staff.
Can I have a second, please?
I'll second.
Second from Ms. Turner. Is there any discussion? There being no discussion, vote. Mr. Higginbotham?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Ms. Wood?
Aye.
Motion carried, 4-0-0-1. Ms. McGuffin, award for the centrifuge.
So, as council remembers, we have had conversations over goodness, many months now about how to spend the ARPA money that the town received. The decision of the council has been to put that money back into our core services, so water and wastewater, and we are moving forward with a sludge dewaterer project. Mr. White opened bids for the equipment that would go into the sludge dewatering system over at the wastewater treatment plant, which would serve both the water and the wastewater systems. The centrifuge equipment, he is happy with the bid that we received. His whole reason for wanting to separate this out into equipment versus the actual construction project was because, number one, at this time, getting any equipment is taking forever. I mean, it's just that the lead time on this is probably 9 to 12 months. And as I say that, it'll probably end up being 15 to 18 months with the way the world seems to be working now. So we really wanted to not delay this and have the project delayed because we couldn't get the equipment. The bid came in actually less than what we had expected. So the bid came in at $218,988, and that was a good bid and a responsive bid from Alpha Laval. Mrs. Turner asked me a really good question today. She came to me and was just concerned about if we're separating out this project, so you're separating out equipment from construction. What does that mean in terms of liabilities and warranties with how that works? This equipment, they make a point of saying in the bid document that they are not liable for if it's not appropriately put into a specified construction system, that they're not liable for whether it works or not. So I confirmed with Mr. White that there is a one-year warranty on this. Our bid is open until September the 8th. Mr. White's recommendation is that we approve this bid award contingent on them extending it to September 15th and or having an approved construction project, because what he would like to do is go ahead and get the drawings. We've got the 90% drawings today for the actual rest of the project. He'd like to get those out on the street and bid so that we can award that bid and then get this one done right after your September meeting, and then have those projects work a little bit more closely in unison. So once that building is built, this equipment comes in, and we've got that 1 year of warranty time to confirm that everything works the way it's supposed to. So I know that's kind of a long sort of analysis, more than what we had kind of put in this agenda, but I think that that was a really good question that Mrs. Turner brought up, and Mr. White and I had a good conversation today about how to mechanically make sure that the town is protected with the warranty for this centrifuge equipment. So staff is really asking for a tentative bid award and coming back to you again if we need to rejigger that in, you know, August, but we're thinking it'd be more like September, and we're asking them to extend it.
And you're asking, the motion you're asking for is a tentative bid exception. I mean,
tentative bid award with the idea of moving forward with the bid on the rest of the project and bringing those two pieces together.
I'll make that motion.
A motion from Ms. Turner. May I have a second?
Second.
A second from Mr. Watts. Any discussion? No discussion. Vote. Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
And Mr. Hoover?
Aye.
4-0-0-1. Ms. McGuffin, adopt the Bay Court resolution.
So I will look over to Mrs. Morgan and see if she has anything to add when I'm done speaking, but this is for the new fiscal year, our insurance policy. Staff is recommending that we switch insurance providers. And Mrs. Morgan and I have both worked with Baycorp in the past. We have managed to get the two proposals with the same coverages, matching up apples to apples, and this proposal saves the town a little bit over $10,000 a year in our insurance coverage. Anything you'd like to add?
Looking for a motion to adopt the resolution for the Bay Court.
I'm glad to make a motion that says it's $10,000.
I have a motion from Mr. Watts. Have a second, please.
Second.
I knew that was coming. I could see you smiling. Any discussion? No discussion. Mr. Higginbotham?
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Ms. Green?
Aye.
4-0-0-1. Mr. Lansing, the loud exhaust noise ordinance.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. On July 1, a new piece of state legislation went into effect that allows localities all across Virginia to have expanded options in regulating loud exhaust. And if you've ever seen a motorcycle, a car, or a big truck have something coming out of the exhaust pipe that is just very attention grabbing, that's what we mean by loud exhaust. You might be wondering what the technical definition of loud is, and unfortunately there is no technical definition. It's simply something that is loud enough to be annoying and disturbing the peace of the community. There are some places that measure it in terms of decibels or extreme technical criteria, but my goal, and Captain Payne and the Commonwealth's attorney agreed, my goal was to make this as non-technical as possible, because if we require things like reading decibels, then that creates a difficulty for the police, because they have to have a decibel meter on them, and it has to be working at just the right moment when the car is going by. We've drafted an ordinance that keeps it as common sense and non-technical as we possibly can. And that's essentially what this would do. We already have state legislation regulating loud exhaust, but this ordinance would simply make those rules easier to enforce. We talked to the Commonwealth Attorney today, or Adam, an assistant county, assistant Commonwealth Attorney, and he agreed this was easier to enforce than the state board. Mm-hmm.
Campaign, you have anything you'd like to add, sir?
Just what Mr. Lansing said, we had the meeting. It was spelled out easier for us. Based off of the legislation that he's drafted, it will make it easier for us as the police department to enforce this, because it is a nuisance in this area that I've seen and heard.
Yes,
so,
yes. So, okay, well, I will entertain a motion to adopt the schedule public hearing.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious about it. How can we, how's it going to be enforced? Is there a standard that it's going to be enforced by, or what? Because it seems like, from what I'm hearing, it could open up a lot of profiles. And that's not good for us. You know, how is it going to be controlled? How are you going to implement this?
I think we need to have our public hearing and all of us take time to review that, and then that's where the questions will come back. How about that?
That'll work.
Mr. Mayor, could I interject one thing to that? Yes. It was a good conversation that we had this afternoon with the Commonwealth Attorney and with the Captain and Mr. Lansing. And one of the things that, and I can't remember if you brought it up with the Commonwealth Attorney, but they brought up the idea of really the fact that this noise should be discernible from all the other traffic noise going on. Mm-hmm. That this, it shouldn't be something like, oh, there's a truck going by and I can hear it. You should actually be able to discern it. And with the purchase that the council approved of the enhanced vehicle cameras and the better body cams that they have now, we're really thinking about how we can utilize those tools that we have to make sure that we can document that this wasn't just, you know, oh, it sounded like every other vehicle on the road, because you can hear them in video footage. I mean, they are substantially louder, the ones that we're looking for. So I think that's one of the things that we would be trying to do from a policy point of view, is make sure that we are really carefully documenting those things, so that if someone said, okay, why did you pull over this motorcycle, that they would be able to pull up that footage of, as they were pulling that motorcycle over, the noise that was coming from it.
Another thing I'm concerned about, the police will know what's too loud, but how will the young guy on the motorcycle or the car know it's too loud?
They know. They've only gotten louder since the General Assembly backed off the street.
Right.
And stop.
But what's too loud? I'm talking about what's crossing the line. How are we going to know what's really crossing the line?
Come to my house at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll show you.
It's been altered.
No, I mean, it's got to be a way for us to do this.
It's been altered for the purpose of making it loud. So once they pull, and please jump in, Mr. Captain Payne, if I don't have this right, but once they pulled someone over, they're going to visually look at that equipment to determine if it has been altered for the purpose of making additional noise. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I also interject too and add that this is strictly for exhaust, not to do anything with speakers, sound, or anything of that sort, or music. It's strictly for the exhaust. And what it was tailored to is, like Councilmember Watts said about backing off in the General Assembly and the laws and the changes, and changing it from a used to be a primary offense to a secondary offense, making it we couldn't stop for it. And this Carolina squat that was outlawed before, that was, they went hand in hand, the exhaust and the Carolina squat. Now that the Carolina squat has been nixed and made illegal, that the exhaust raised and gotten louder, so now they put a stop and put it back to a primary offense for stopping that. Because it is, they have been, several localities have started doing this too and adopting this because it's been a nuisance.
But if they pulled over a vehicle because they thought it was loud, and then they inspected it, and it had a standard exhaust system,
You would not then give them a ticket, is that correct?
If they have a standard exhaust system, that is correct. No, if it's legal, then no ticket. But if it's altered in any way, because that's the code section, is altered exhaust, then that would be the summons coming from that.
Even if it's altered legally?
Know how you can alter it legally because it
turns. Yeah, because there is, because there are different pipes that they sell that are legal.
They sell a lot of things. I mean, I'm not, but a lot of things are sold, like back in our day, glass pipes and stuff like that. That was never illegal. I mean, never legal.
Yeah, they,
but they sold them.
Right.
But they sold them, yeah, stole
them. I think it's a good idea because we do have some issues with the noise.
Right.
I'm concerned about it being dispersed found.
I understand.
And I think the video evidence that they will collect, right, will back up whatever they.
We should have an ordinance that dictates that a certain level where it will be.
And then that will go back to the media.
And we can't do that.
No. Yeah.
If you're setting a certain level, then that will go back to the media, because then how else would they know whether it was 80 decibels or 40 decibels?
Well, you could stop some, with this you could stop someone, to me it was loud. And that's the reason to stop a person now.
May I?
Yes, ma'am.
I think it's a great idea. I have had experience, not only personally, but from some of the community members concerned about the loud noise. And I believe there is a difference in the sound when you have people gunning. It became more obvious after the laws that he was mentioning were relaxed. I have a question, though. If you have a neighbor who's gunning their motor in their driveway, and it's obviously loud, are you allowed to complain? At one time, you weren't able to at that point because of this, or is this just that they're driving it and you're pulled over?
I think it's probably on the road.
Yeah, but if they're in the driveway.
It does have to be on a public highway.
Okay.
In order to qualify.
But if you have a problem with somebody in the driveway, then that would probably fall under the ordinance.
Yeah, if it's late at night and fast.
Yeah, if it fits within the parameters of the ordinance.
Okay.
I think it's needed, but I'm just curious about how you're going to implement, who you're going to let go and who you're going to stop. You know, how you going to implement?
I think that what they said about it being legal or not, whether it's been added to or not, I think that would be the answer. Because you pull them over, but it's altered, well then that's sort of a confirmation.
Well, if it's legal, why you pull them over?
Well,
you will know. I mean, if it's extremely loud, like I'm surprised we didn't hear that pickup truck come on the road. But you know, if they pull them over and they're legal, you know, what's going on? Hey, you're good. I mean, the only way they're going to know is look at it. But I mean, some of them, like, you can't have one unless they've changed it. You have to have a muffler. All right? Not straight pipes running. So a lot of these guys are running straight pipes. So you're going to pull them over and go.
Yeah, it's needed.
So
I know it's needed because there's a couple of the little cars right here and there.
Big pickup trucks are really good.
I thought it was a jet, a sonic boom. Seriously.
So my suggestion is you review the ordinance and write your questions. So after we have our public hearing and bring this up to vote, then we'll sit down and discuss it. Because right now, without our public hearing and had time to sit for a while and review that, we're just bouncing ideas now. We want to be able to talk about it intelligently, about exactly what our concerns are. So,
Mr. Mayor, if I could address one issue that came up with regard to this. If the council has interest in requiring that there would be some kind of technical deficiency, some kind of mechanical deficiency, like the muffler has been altered or the exhaust system has been altered, it certainly, you know, it can direct me to redraft it. It can direct me to redraft the ordinance to do that, but that is not what the ordinance does right here. There is some, I'm going to say some wiggle room, some room for interpretation about what is unreasonably loud. Right here, it's considered loud if it's a noise of such intensity as to unreasonably disturb or annoy the quiet comfort or repose of any person. We could have gone further and required something like alteration of the muffler or the exhaust system. The reason why I did not, in this draft, put that criterion in there is because that requires a certain amount of mechanical knowledge on the part of the police officer, which isn't necessarily their area of training or expertise. And so because you have police officers, not mechanics necessarily, who are stopping them, this ordinance is drafted to be designed in terms of how unreasonably disturbing or annoying the noise is, as opposed to what the decibels are or what the mechanical functions of the car are.
If you go that route, it just seems like you're going to start tying the hands of the officers. They already have a tough time now when they pull people over. You have to have a checklist. And I feel like this is just another checklist they have to go through. I mean, it's common sense to me that it's loud and it's annoying. And we put trust and faith in our officers to do the right job and to do duty. And I feel like if we add more to it, it's just going to get mucked up. You know, that's something to discuss.
Right, and that's something to discuss. And just my quick thought before I bring this back to the public hearing is, we're going to start asking these guys, like you said, to become mechanics.
No.
So then they're going to turn around and come to court, and they're going to bring their mechanic, who's going to dispute what these guys are, and they're not mechanics, and we don't want that to happen. Their expertise is enforcing the law, not building a car. So, I mean, that's true.
But we want to keep them in a position where no one can constantly complain that our officers are picking on people or profiling or anything like that. So that's why I'm saying we should have a standard. It's not really to protect the citizen and not protect the officer, it's to protect the officer too. Because we're living in a society right now that they will complain against anything against our officers. You know, so we want to protect them also from being, hey, well, he's just picking on him. He had no right to pull him. We want to have them protected as well as the people.
Okay. All right. Make your notes. Be ready for the public hearing. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So I will accept a motion to set the public hearing for next month. Is that good? You understand?
That sounds great.
All right, to set the public hearing for August on the loud exhaustion or noise one. I have a motion for that.
I'll make that motion.
A motion from Ms. Turner. May I have a second?
A second.
Second from Ms. Wheaton. Is there any further discussion? None being. Ms. Wheaton?
As it's written now, as I see it, it's if the exhaust system has been altered.
Yeah, but this, I'm sorry, Mr. Driscoll, that will be addressed at the public hearing next month, okay? Ms. Wheaton, we're at the vote.
Aye.
Mr. Watts and Mr. Hoover. Motion is carried 4-0-0-1. Yes, sir, Mr. Driscoll, that's why we have a public hearing next month. Okay. You're going to combine the next two, Ms. McGuffin?
So just what we were going to do, and of course Mr. Lansing can jump in at any point, but there are two items that are going to be taken into closed session, but just an overall review of them. So number five, there is a recommendation from the Property Maintenance Investigation Board, and they have recommended to the council that 172 Depot Street be required to be demolished. It is neglected. And it has been neglected for many years, and so they have recommended that building be demolished. There is an extensive process that the council will need to go through if council would like to do that. So this is not a quick decision. There's a public notice requirement. There is an informing the property owner. There's a hearing. There's a lot we're going to do. But Mr. Lansing would like to have that discussion in closed session about kind of how the process would work and some recommendations about how to handle that. And then the next issue is we have received a request to abandon an alley that is adjacent to Mount Olive Church. And there are multiple alleys that have never really been opened in the town, and there is, again, a legal process by which you can abandon an alley. And what he'd like to talk about is also some process procedurally. Because we've never done this, what should we be looking for from someone who would request this? What kind of information would you like them to provide? Should there be a fee structure for that? Is that a sale? Is that a donation? So just really want to have those conversations and be able to get advice from your attorney on those two issues. But we wanted to also leave them on the agenda in the interest of communicating to everyone about what council is looking at and discussing. Anything you'd like to add to those?
That is exactly what I would have said, except more eloquently.
With that, and we will move on and we'll address that later. Number seven, appointments, Ms. McGuffin.
We do have an application that was in your packet for Shannon Carter to be on the Board of Zoning Appeals, as you all know. This is a recommendation that comes from the council and goes to the circuit court, and then the circuit court appoints the Board of Zoning Appeals folks for a term of 5 years. So if the council is willing, she has offered herself as a potential Board of Zoning Appeals member.
Yeah, I'll entertain a motion to accept the application of Ms. Carter for the BZA.
I'll make that motion.
I have a motion from Ms. Turner. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a second from Ms. Weed. Is there any discussion? Any more discussion? Vote. Mr. Higginbotham? Mr. Watt?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Ms. Weed?
Aye.
Motion carried. 4-0-0-1. Matters from staff, Ms. Dickey?
No, sir.
Okay. Mr.
Pierre? Yes, sir, I do.
All righty.
I would like to take opportunity to give a shout out to the Plans Department for exemplary work done during the power outage of Father's Day weekend. The crew, many came in that were off duty so that we could get to the wastewater plant when the trees were down. We had to saw their way down in there. We had to go down and check the river to make sure the building was still there. Even though it didn't have power, it was. And we also had to keep a check on Waterbury Tap. Once power got reinstated on Sunday evening, we had one operator, Mr. Smith, who went ahead and volunteered to work second shifts for a matter of days so that we could get continuously pumping. So I just wanted to make council aware of what they put in for y'all and the town citizens.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank them.
Yes.
Make sure you relay to them that council is, you know, very appreciative of their work and their dedication to the town.
Yes.
Mr. Lansing?
No, thank you.
Ms. McGuffin?
I have two matters for council. One is Mr. Williams is far too modest to say this, but leading that crew and putting in more hours than anyone else was Mr. Williams. So, you know, this person, he worked a lot of hours during 2 weeks to make sure that everything got caught back up himself and led that crew in making all of that happen. So we are very thankful.
I think those are the same. He just does that.
He just do that, yes. So the other thing I needed to bring up to you is that we have had a request from the Sheriff's Department. They have two events that they are planning. One of them is their National Night Out celebration on August 2nd, and the other is a car show on September 10th. They're having both of those events at the high school. Our policy for events says that if someone's looking to close a road, they need an approval from council, and then we would actually have Vicki submit the paperwork for them. The only thing they're looking to close is Lancer Lane, but that is LaVidoc Road. And so there have been times that people have had things at the high school and they closed Lancer Lane and not gotten a VDOT permit, and that does not make VDOT happy. So I am looking for council to have a motion to approve the Sheriff's Department's closure of Lancer Lane and their events on August 2nd and on September 10th. And then Vicki will proceed with getting their permit to be
there. We have it with one motion.
that would be great by me.
Okay, I will entertain a motion that the road closure for the sheriff's office in the division. The motion for Mr. Lott, for a second.
I'll second.
Second for Ms. Turner. Any discussion? No discussion. Vote, Mr. Higginbotham?
Aye.
Mr. Watt?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
And Ms. Wood?
Aye.
4-0-0-1. Motion carried. Matter from council. Ms. Wheaton?
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Watt?
I have a couple of things. Number one, I want to thank the police department for a noticeable increase in traffic enforcement. The numbers are up, and kind of, I appreciate it anyway.
Yeah.
So if you let the folks know, that you're appreciative. The next thing is, I want to thank not just Mr. Williams' people, Mr. Williams, but the entire town staff. And, I know maintenance was busy, and the police were busy. So I think that we need not forget everybody that had a hand in that and worked hand in hand. So I appreciate that too. The third and final thing I have, Mr. McGuffin, is...
Did you have it too?
I said should we not send us some kind of notice to the public that we have this trash can on us? I mean, they found out when we actually go in and take the trash can.
So we have done a whole lot of outreach on trying to let folks know about the trash can ordinance, and we are still having people find out when we go to visit them. But that's part of why we have not tried to roll this out as, kind of coming and taking people's cans right away. I mean, Mr. Thompson goes and explains the ordinance to them, and he hands them a copy of the ordinance, and, office staff is actually working with folks to track of when somebody has they're getting a warning and when they're getting their can taken. So that's part of why we have not rolled this out as a just, come in and just take people's cans, but actually trying to give people that education. It doesn't matter what kind of outreach you do. There are going to be people who don't know until they violate it and end up having the visit works fast.
Well, I agree with that. I just had the question posed to me about that and said, how can we enforce it when you've not told them about it?
We are telling people when we go to enforce it.
Did there was a notice going to go for the water?
No.
No, because there is no room on our current bills. So
can I say something about that? So we have had a few complaints on that already, and I've spoken with a couple of citizens and Ms. Wheaton because somebody reached out to her. A couple of the complaints that we had, we couldn't do anything about because the trash cans were not in the right-of-way. They were pulled back to the edge of the driveway, so we couldn't do anything about that. But as Ms. McGuffin said, we get made colored flyers, and at this point, Mr. Thompson or one of his guys is going out to the actual resident. That if they're home, he's actually having a conversation with that person first and saying, this is what was adopted. We've had a complaint. Do you mind bringing your trash can back? And at this point, we're actually documenting these warnings in our utility system on the person's utility account. And at this point, they're just getting a warning with the flyer, and that's not even considered their first warning at this time. We're waiting for this to kind of be on the books for a while and for everybody to get used to it before we consider their first warning, the taking the can without a fee. So we haven't actually taken anybody's cans yet.
And Mr. Watts, I posted it on our Facebook page May 27th.
Okay.
So anybody
awesome.
That looks at Facebook could have picked it up there also.
Okay. With that,
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir. I did skip right over you. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say thank you for the support of council for our first responders parade and fireworks event. We had a wonderful event. We received several compliments from the citizens about it, especially closing down the road right up here and making that walking and family-friendly areas. We're looking to improve next year, making it bigger. First one that we've had since COVID era and all that, but we maybe had one or two hiccups, but so far it went off great. So thank you for your all support, and thank you, I don't see Mr. Thompson here, but for the maintenance workers as well, helping us out with the cones and traffic control as well.
Thank you. Sorry, I skipped over you.
That's all.
All right, Mr. Watts.
Oh,
Because there's no more citizen comments. You bought anybody's sheet?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'll double check.
All right, yeah.
Where the town council of the town of Amherst desires to discuss and close meeting the following matters. Consultation of legal counsel pertaining to action and or criminal litigation, where such consultation in open meeting would adversely affect the negotiating or litigating posture of the public body, namely the declaration of property at 172 Depot Street as a public nuisance, and the Amherst County Circuit Court case number CL22-461, and consultation of legal counsel employed or retained by a public body regarding specific legal matters requiring the provision of legal advice by such counsel, namely legal advice regarding the derelict property of 172 Depot Street, and legal advice regarding the legal process for Vanderbilt Alley, and whereas pursuant to Virginia Code 2.2-3711A, 7, and A, 8, respectively, such discussions may occur in a closed meeting. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Town Council of the Town of Amherst does hereby authorize discussion of the aforesaid matters in closed session.
Okay. So, all those in favor of going into closed session? Ms. Wheaton?
Aye.
Ms. Turner?
Aye.
Mr. Watt?
Aye.
Ms. Hamel?
Do we need a motion to adopt that resolution?
That was the motion.
That was the motion. Do we need a second on that?
Shouldn't I?
I second it.
Okay, it was second, because I thought this was.
All right.
So, okay, we have all that now. We will be going into closed session, so thank you all very much for attending.